First Samuel chapter 26 tonight. And tonight what we'll do is we'll do a Bible study and we'll do a character study. We've looked at the life of this man before. And so keep your Bibles open. Typically in my preaching, when I try to get a little flow going, I don't normally have you turn to a lot of verses. I prefer to just turn and read it instead of waiting on somebody messing up the rhythm. Tonight, I'm going to have you turn, all right? And so we're going to look at a lot of verses. Keep your Bibles open, and we'll just a Bible study tonight. And as I prayed, we'll inspect the Bible, but hopefully the Bible will inspect us tonight, all right? One of my favorite characters in the Bible is the life of David. I love studying the life of David. I have preached through it, through his life, and I'd like to do it again. I'd love to preach through the life of Saul sometime next year. I would love to go through the life of Saul. But as you live your life is bound up in the lives of so many other people that surround you. It would be impossible to tell your story without telling the story of those with whom you have to do. You could not tell my story without also talking about my wife, my children, this church, because it's so interwoven. So when you study Bible characters, you're not studying just that person, but you have to consider all of the men and the women who are supporting actors and actresses in that particular story. And interwoven throughout the life of David, there's a number of men and women that are very fascinating, and their story takes on a story of itself. And you have to piece together a lot of it from the Kings and the Chronicles and the Psalms and 1 and 2 Samuel and try to put it all together, because a lot of those characters are relatives of David, and that adds intrigue to the story itself. For example, you know about David and Bathsheba, and then you know about Ahithophel, who was a counselor to David and then turned and betrayed David. When you discover that Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather, boy, that really ties it together, all right? That kind of puts it together. One of the men that played a very prominent role in the life of David was the man named Joab. And if I had to put a title to Joab's life, I would call him Joab, a man after his own heart. A man after his own heart. You're in 1 Samuel 26. We're going to turn into a lot of Bible tonight. Verse number 6 is the first time that you find the name of Joab. Verse number 6. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah. And I'm going to mispronounce that name a lot tonight, probably. The son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. Now, Joab is one of three brothers. There's a man named Asahel. We'll look at it in a minute. Abishai, and there is Joab. And we are told that Abishai and Joab are mentioned here, that they are the son of Zeruiah. And here's what's unusual about that. That's their mother, not their father. And that's unusual because we're always told the son of and the father. But for some reason, the mother's name is given and not the father. I would tell you why. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 2. 1 Chronicles chapter number 2. And here is who Zeruiah is. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And this is the genealogy of David. Verse number 13, Jesse begat his firstborn, Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah. So it's mentioning the brothers. Verse 15, David is the seventh, whose sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail, and the sons of Zeruiah, Abishai and Joab, and Asahel, three. So Zeruiah is one of David's sisters. Jesse had seven sons and two daughters, and Zeruiah is one of his sisters, probably half-sister, I'm not sure, and she has these two sons. So if my family tree is correct, then Joab and his two brothers, Abishai and Asahel, would be David's nephews by one of his sisters. So you can start to see the family tree beginning to take shape. So Joab all throughout the life of David. He's actually David's nephew. Now, when David became the king, Joab became the captain of his army. And there's a strange way that he became that. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. You're in 1 Chronicles, look at chapter number 11. I'll show you how he got that position. 1 Chronicles 11 and verse number 4. David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, "Thou shalt not come hither." Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, "Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain." So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. David, when he first became king, Hebron was his capital at first, but then the kingdom is united. He wants Jerusalem to be his capital, but it's occupied by the Jebusites, and they don't want to give it up. And Jerusalem was a very well-fortified city. It had high walls. It sat on a hill, so it's very easy to defend. And so David challenged his men and said, "Tell you what, whoever can overthrow Jerusalem, I'll make you the captain of my army." And Joab is the man that did it. And that's how Joab became the captain of David's army. Now, hindsight is 20/20. Looking back on it 40 years later, probably was a bad choice, all right? But I'm not faulting David. He doesn't know then what he would know 40 years later. And here's about Joab. Joab was a very strong, he was a very ambitious man. He was a natural leader. He was a fearless warrior. He was a trusted advisor at one time. But Joab had one big character flaw, and that is that he had misplaced loyalty. Now, loyalty is not a character trait that we talk a lot about. If we said, "Boy, give me a list of the most important character traits," loyalty would not be in that list. But loyalty is important. And Joab was like most men in that he was loyal to himself. That's who his loyalty was to. And because of that, he can't be trusted, and he will never submit wholly to the wishes or to the will of David. And though he's the captain of David's army, though he's a nephew, though he knows David all of his life, Joab becomes a very treacherous man. David never deals with him, but we'll look here in just a minute that David tells Solomon, when he anoints Solomon, that one of the first things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to deal with Joab. You're going to have to put him to death. That's going to be the end of Joab. Come back to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Keep your Bibles open. Keep your Bibles open. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Let me show you Joab in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 2. By this time, Saul is dead. David is the king in Hebron. The nation is in a bit of civil war. There are some tribes that have not yet accepted David as the king. Abner had been the captain of Saul's army. And in his bid to hold on to power, he has helped Ish-bosheth to be the next king to rival David. Ish-bosheth is the fourth son of Saul. He's the last living heir. And so he has been installed as a puppet king by Absalom, the son of David. All right, it's going to sound like a soap opera. And so now Abner and his men get into a skirmish with Joab and his men. Joab is the captain of David's army. You have Abner, he's got Ish-bosheth the pepper king, and he's trying to install Ish-bosheth and get him established. And you got Joab and David. And so Abner is leading the forces of Ish-bosheth, and Joab is leading the forces of David. Look at 2 Samuel 2, look at verse number 18. There were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. There's that third one. Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. He was fast. And Asahel pursued after Abner. And in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men and take thee his armor." But Asahel would not turn aside from following of him. So they're in a battle. The battle turns toward the side of Joab, and Abner sees the handwriting on the wall, and Abner retreats. He starts running away, and Asahel, one of the brothers of Joab, sees him. And Asahel takes off after him, and he's pursuing him. And Abner, who has a lot more experience as a warrior than young Asahel, turns around to him and says, look, man, I know who you are. You need to turn around. All right, go chase after one of these young men, but turn your right hand or left hand, but this is not going to end well for you. And Asahel won't. So verse number 22. Abner said again to Asahel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, and the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Two times Abner says, you need to turn around. And Asahel wouldn't. So Abner takes a spear and he kills Asahel. It's a fair fight. It is wartime. All right. So he kills Asahel. That is the brother of Joab. Look, if you would, at 2 Samuel chapter number 3. Now remember, Abner was the leader of Ishbosheth's group, trying to assault Ishbosheth. He's leading the civil war. So 2 Samuel 3, look at verse number 17. Abner, remember Abner? He had communications with the elders of Israel, saying, he has sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. That's the tribe of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desires. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Abner had been Saul's captain. Then he tries to prop up Ishbosheth as a puppet king. But he sees the handwriting on the wall. This is not going to work. Our nation is divided. So Abner, what I just read to you, has come to David to make a peace treaty. I have the men of Benjamin. I have their ear. But I believe that it's time to end the fighting. There's been enough bloodshed. There's been enough brother killing brother. You're the anointed king. And I think it's time for the nation to come and be united behind you. I will go to the tribe of Benjamin. I will go to the men of Israel. And I will tell them, lay your swords down. Let's unite under David. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Well, look at verse number 22. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king. He has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Well, that's great. That's great. Abner has come. He has surrendered. No more war. Kingdom united. Verse number 24. Then Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it thou hast sent him away and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee and to know thy going out and thy coming in and to know all that thou doest. Joab is not for peace. He tells the king, Abner's going to stab you in the back. He's come in as a spy. You let him just come in. You let him go in peace. Well, what are you doing? So look at verse 26. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. That is murder. That's what that is. All right? When Abner killed Asahel, that's not murder. We were in war. But we're not in war now. There had been peace made. He comes under the auspices of a peace treaty. Joab represents David. David has made peace with him. And Joab should honor that peace. Why did he kill him? For the blood of Asahel, his brother. Abner killed his brother. And Joab said, I'm not going to let that go. I am going to get vengeance for my brother. And he kills Abner. Now here's what you'll find about Joab. Joab had a reputation, I'll show you three murders in a minute. Joab had a reputation for revenge killings and murders. Now I won't turn there, but in 1 Kings chapter 11, there is a little known story about Joab going into Edom and killing the Edomites. And he was there for 6 months and killed every male Edomite that he could find. And there were some servants that escaped to Egypt, and they took a boy with them named Hadad. Hadad grew up in Egypt during the reign of David, and he eventually came back to Edom, but he would only do it when he heard that Joab was dead. Joab has such a reputation, he would not come back until Joab was dead. That's his reputation. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Hold on to the thought. David makes peace with Abner. Joab kills Abner. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Here's the story of Absalom, the rebel son. Overthrows his father for a little while from the throne. And you remember another son of David named Amnon, how Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. Well, Absalom had killed Amnon for that crime, and David had exiled him from Jerusalem, and Absalom was not able to come to Jerusalem for 2 years. He lost all the privileges of being a prince. And as soon as Absalom returns to Jerusalem, he starts plotting how to overthrow his father. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 17. By the way, it is Joab that convinces David to end the exile and to bring him back. So in 2 Samuel chapter 17, Absalom is back in Jerusalem, and now he's meeting with men. He's gathering some men to himself, and he is plotting to overthrow his father. One of the things he's going to need is he's going to need an army. So look at 2 Samuel 17, look at verse 25. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host. And these next three words are very telling. Instead of Joab. Joab is still the captain of David's army. But he brings Absalom back to help plan the coup. In fact, I believe that Joab was already planning to double cross David in a backroom deal somewhere, that if I can install Absalom as the next king, then maybe I get to be the Secretary of Defense. I will rise up. But this is what Joab felt. He makes Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab. Who's Amasa? Amasa is the son of David's other sister, Abigail. So Amasa and Joab are cousins. See if you can keep it together. I know it's Wednesday night. Amasa and Joab are cousins. Now, why would Absalom choose Amasa over Joab? Joab is the one that brought him back to Jerusalem. And now Absalom has snubbed him. Not good for Absalom. Look at chapter 18. Chapter 18, Absalom has chased David. David is now forced to fight his own son. So now it is Absalom's army against David's army led by Joab. Absalom has Amasa as his captain. David has Joab as his captain. So now Joab and his army going out to fight against Absalom, and Amasa's captain. So 2 Samuel 18, look at verse number 5. And the king David commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. Let me ask you a question. Audience participation. When Abner came to David and made peace with him, do you think that David wanted Abner to die? Yes or no? But Joab did, didn't he? According to 2 Kings 18:5, even though Absalom, his son, has revolted, he's running away from him, does it sound like that David wants Absalom to die? Yes or no? Look at verse number 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head was caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, saying, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him. And why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girl. Why didn't you kill him? There's a good reason why. The man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee, and Abishai, and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against my own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself would have set thyself against me. You'd have sold me out. If I'd have killed him, I know you want him dead, but if I'd have killed him, I know who you'd have blamed. Huh? Then said Joab, I may not tarry thee, but I ain't got time to wait on you. He took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Abner makes a league with David, and Joab disapproves. I'm going to get revenge against Abner. I don't care what the king says, and he kills him. Absalom comes back to Jerusalem, begins to plot the coup, needs a captain, and he overlooks Joab, and he gets Amasa. Joab says, no, that ain't right. David says, don't smite Absalom, my son. But Absalom has committed a mortal sin. He has crossed Joab, and Joab kills him. Come to chapter 19. Come to chapter 19. Verse number 1. It was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed, still away when they flee in battle. The king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son. And Joab came into the house to the king and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and we had all died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Though Absalom had been a rebel, David loved him. There's no doubt that David loved Absalom. When you study that relationship, you wonder at the depth of a father's love for his son. Right. And now David is mourning for Absalom, and Joab comes and rebukes him. David is in a weakened position. He has just barely survived a coup. The general of his army is guilty of insubordination, and a son that he dearly loved is dead. Who talks to a king like that? Now look at verse number 7. Now therefore, this is Joab speaking. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants, for I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth unto thee. That sounds like a threat. I'm calling the shots now, and I have enough power to pull the strings, and I can end your days of being the king. That sounds like what Joab is saying. So David's got a decision to make. I can't have Joab with this much power. He's killed Abner. He has killed Absalom. He is in open insubordination. So here's what he does. He demotes Joab. It takes the position of captain away from him. Guess who he gives it to? Look at verse number 11. And King David sent unto Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, speaking to the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, give it to his home. Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And say ye to Amasa, art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually. Watch this, in the room of Joab. Amasa had been Absalom's captain. But with Absalom dead, it seems like that Amasa has now come over to David's side. Maybe it's a bad decision on David's part. I'm not sure. But he says, I can trust you more than I can trust Joab. And I'm going to make you the captain. Here's the key phrase, in the room of Joab. For the second time, Amasa has been promoted over Joab. Absalom made him captain over Joab. And now David has made him captain over Joab. And the bloom is off the rose, and everybody knows what Joab is. And knowing what you know about Joab, what do you think Joab thinks about Amasa now? Look at chapter 20. Are you still with me? Bible study. Look at verse number 9. Chapter 20, verse 9. Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. That is the third murder, and it's all for revenge. He has killed Abner to revenge the death of his brother. He has killed Absalom because he's angry at him promoting Amasa over him. And now he has killed Amasa because he'd been promoted twice over him. I ask you a question. Do you think that Joab wanted Amasa to die? Yes or no? Did David want him to die? No. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, when Joab killed Abner, David had a state funeral for Abner. And he ordered Joab to rend his clothes and join in the funeral train. David had the nation mourning for Abner and called him a great man. And he orders Joab to mourn the man that he had murdered. That had to be a humiliation for Joab. And one of the questions in the relationship is, why didn't David ever do something about it? Why never put him to death? Or at the least put him in prison. He's insubordinate. He will not follow orders. He is a bloody man. He is guilty of 3 murders. And David knew this all along. And David would eventually tell Solomon that you're going to have to deal with him. One of the first things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put Joab to death. Then why didn't David ever do something about it? I won't turn there, but you know the story of 2 Samuel 11, don't you? David and Bathsheba. Brings Uriah home. Tries to have Uriah sleep with his wife. He won't. Next plan, send him back to the battle. Gave him a letter. Took him back to battle. Give the letter to Joab. Joab opens the letter. He doesn't know what has gone on, but something's going on. Put Uriah on a suicide mission. Joab does that, and he has him killed. And I think eventually Joab put the pieces together. And now he's got this hanging over the head of David. It's going to be hard for David to punish Joab for murder when David is guilty of murder himself. He never was able to punish Joab because of what Joab had hanging over his head. As David grows older, he's wise enough to know that there has to be a succession plan in place. He had come to power in the middle of a civil war. There have been rivalries and there have been battles. David was a very bloody man. That's why he was not able to build the temple. So many wars, so much bloodshed. And so David makes it clear to the elders of Israel that Solomon is going to be his successor. Go to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter number 1. Solomon is going to be the next king. However, David has another son. His name is Adonijah. And Adonijah decides that he wants to be the next king. 1 Kings 1 and verse number 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted him, saying, I will be king. And prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Adonijah is actually older than Solomon. He believed that he should be the next king. And he knew that David was going to give the crown to Solomon. And so Adonijah decides that he is going to seize it by force. And the only thing that he needs is an army. I just need somebody to gather an army. This is going to be a military coup. I wonder who I could get. Abner's dead. Amasa is dead. I wonder who I could get. Verse number 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zariah, the Abiathar, the priest, and the following Adonijah helped him. Remember, by this time, Joab has been demoted from being David's captain. He is out of the administration. He has killed off all of the rivals, Abner and Amasa. He has killed Absalom. He is in open rebellion against David. And now Joab decides to take up with Adonijah and help install him as the king, because that is going to be the only way that I am going to return to power. And if you will read the rest of the chapter sometime, when David hears about now the second coup attempt, he immediately calls all the elders together and he has a convocation, and he very quickly publicly anoints Solomon as the next king. Now everybody knows, it's out in the open, that Solomon is already anointed as the next king. Now any revolt against him is punishable by death. This ends Adonijah's attempt at becoming king. And when you study Bible characters, you want to be fair. Because Joab is not here to defend himself. And so you can't read, it's hard to read motives into the Bible when you haven't met the man. But I think that Joab gives us enough examples for us to know him well. And here's the thing about Joab. Joab was an enigma. He wasn't all bad. There were some good things about Joab, and sometimes he acted in concert with the king and was a good counselor, and at other times he was disobedient and he was disloyal, and sometimes he seemed to be David's best friend, and at other times he was David's worst enemy. Sometimes he is doing what is in David's best interest, and at other times he's doing what is in his best interest. Abishai, his brother, is cut of a different cloth. And I even deal with Abishai tonight. The last time I preached, I contrasted the two. Abishai's the man. Do you remember when David snuck into the camp of Saul and cut off the piece of the skirt? He took one man with him. It was Abishai. And Abishai is the guy that said, if you just send me the word, I'll take the sword and I can fix this right now. And David said, no, Abishai, we're not going to kill him. We're not going to kill him. Now, if that had been Joab, he probably killed him. Do you remember when David was leaving Jerusalem and he's got his family, he's fleeing from Absalom, and he comes to a little village called Behurim, and a guy comes out, Shimei comes out, throws stones at him, calls him a bloody man, curses him and everything. Abishai's standing right there. And Abishai tells David, you know, you just turn around, I can take care of this. I can deal with this right now. And David says, no, you can't do that. We're not going to do that. That was Abishai. You know, in life, you'll have two kinds of friends. In life, you will have very few friends who are loyal to the core, who will be by your side no matter who is it. And you'll have others who will see you only as an opportunity. They are your friend until somebody else isn't. They're your best friend until they're not your friend at all. But the spiritual analogy is that you and I are either Abishai or we're Joab. If Joab had been a saved man, and I have no idea that he was, Joab was a carnal man. He is a rebel at heart, and you can't be a spiritual man if you're not a submissive man. He is selfish, he is proud, he is spiteful, he is bitter, he is angry. And the more that you study Joab, he's a picture of the flesh. You and I are either Joab or we're Abishai. You either love your brother or you love yourself. You either have the spirit of Christ or you have the spirit of flesh. You either walk by the spirit or you walk after the flesh. You are either spiritual or you are carnal. You are either Joab or you are Abishai. And here's the interesting thing about Joab. 2 Samuel 23, you'll have to look at. In fact, go there. 2 Samuel 23. This is David's mighty men. 2 Samuel 23. David's mighty men. Long list of them. You read the list. Do you remember Asahel, the young brother that got killed? He's in the list. Remember Abishai, the other brother? He's in the list. Joab, the mighty warrior, he's not in the list. He doesn't make it. In fact, look if you would in verse number 37. Zelek, the Ammonite, Nahari, the Berethite, armor bearer to Joab, the son of Zeruiah. The armor bearer of Joab makes the list. But Joab doesn't make the list. Isn't that amazing? What other passage? I'm done. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. The final chapter of Joab's life is a fitting end. 1 Kings chapter 2. David gives a final charge to Solomon. And he says in 1 Kings 2 and verse 5, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me. What he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Zer, unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace." You're going to have to figure out how to deal with him, but you can't let him live to old age. When David died, Solomon took the throne, and Joab knew that he was marked to death. He had put all of his chips on Adonijah. That didn't work out. And now Joab knows there is a sentence on his head. Solomon had an Adonijah put to death. I won't tell you the story. And when Joab heard about it, he ran. Look if you would in verse number 28. Almost done here. Then tidings came to Joab. For Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he had not turned after Absalom. And Joab fled into the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled into the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he's by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah. Benaiah had been David's bodyguard. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go, fall upon him." And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, "Thus saith the king, come forth." And he said, "Nay, but I will die here." And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, "Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me." And the king said unto him, "Do as he has said. Fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon his head of his seed forever. But upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord." So Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up and fell upon him and slew him and was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Here's the only solution for Joab. He has to die. He has to die. And every day you and I need to get on our knees and crucify the Joab that is in us. Because maybe today you're Joab, and maybe tomorrow you're Abishai, and maybe you're Joab in some parts of your life, and maybe you're Abishai in other parts of your life. And it's interesting that David never dealt with Joab, but he told Solomon the only solution for Joab is he has to die. Joab will never submit to the king over him. And what won't submit has to die. And that's what has to happen to your Joab. And that's what has to happen to my Joab. And here's what Joab does. He gets religion. He runs to the altar. But it is nothing but an act of self-preservation. The only solution for that part of man that will not submit, that is a man after his own heart, is there has to be a sword run through him. And he has to die. That's the end of Joab. Plays a big part in the life of David. Runs all the, from beginning to the end, during the whole 40-year reign. And I believe it's a wonderful picture of the flesh, is what it is. Heavenly Father.